Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Come on in, make yourself at home. This is the Friday edition of the program. Today is May the 15th. We are on the program today going to talk about, it's really a continuation of the theme from yesterday, the idea of that it's okay to be afraid. Now, obviously, I'm hoping you got that idea from yesterday's program because that was the whole theme of the program. Do not be afraid to be afraid. It is okay to be afraid. But what do we do with that fear? And today I'd like to talk about a really cool verse from one of the Psalms. And it tells us exactly what we do or what we can do when we are afraid. And it deals with a potential contradiction in our mind. You know, sometimes we think when we're afraid, that means that we don't trust God, right? I mean, that's a really common belief because we feel that trust is a feeling. And I have to feel this trust, right? Isn't that true? Isn't that common? And that when I'm afraid, I can't trust because I'm afraid. Well, I'm here to tell you today that that is not the case. And when we are afraid, that is the best time to trust God. Yeah, really, it really is. And we're going to talk about that and we're going to base it right from a verse in one of the Psalms today. So it's biblical proof. That's biblical proof that it is possible to trust God when you are afraid. And I'm going to take it a step further and say, when you're afraid, that's exactly the time. That's the best time to trust. So that's what we got going on the program today. And I hope you could stick around for the entire 30 minutes of the show. Why don't we pray now? And then we'll get right into the material for the day. That sounds so official, doesn't it? It makes it sound like a class. Don't get scared. I don't want this to turn into sound like it's a lecture or academic. This is going to be two friends talking about Jesus. You and me, we're sitting around the table. And we're going to be talking about how we can better trust when we are afraid. Trust in God, trust in His providence, trust in His mercy, trust in His love. So let's pray right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts today. We're grateful that we are alive. We're grateful for all the blessings that you continue to provide us with each and every day. We are grateful for the fact that you created us. You created us out of nothing so that we could share in your life. You wanted to share your life with us. What an incredible privilege. Father, we thank you for the ability to be able to speak with you, to be able to have this conversation with you, to be able to ask for what we need. Father, Jesus told us that we should ask for whatever it is that we need. We're going to do that today. And we're going to realize that we flatter you, or we make you very happy when we ask for what we need, because that shows that we are not trying to do everything by ourselves. We're recognizing that we do need you and that we are asking for your help. So with that in mind, we ask for your continued providence, that you continue to take care of our needs, both material and spiritual. We pray for an end, an immediate end to the coronavirus. We pray for healing for anyone who is affected in any way by this coronavirus, whether it be mentally or spiritually or emotionally or physically or financially. That's another way, financially too. So many people are being hurt on a financial basis from this coronavirus. We pray for complete healing for them. We pray for our own personal needs, whatever they may be. We pray for the church. We pray for the government leaders, not just in the U.S., but around the world. We pray for all of the souls in purgatory, that you may have mercy on them. And Father, I pray finally that you use me as your instrument on the program, that you give me the words. Let me know the message that you have for us today. I'm going to do my best to deliver it, but make sure you let me know what it is that you want me to deliver on this program. And I pray finally for the grace for all of us to be open and willing to hear and put your message into practice. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, Saint Joseph, and all the saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for praying with me. Just one thing before we start. I don't know if you're aware, but if you're someone who struggles with any kind of anxiety or any kind of mental illness, disorder, depression, anxiety, the patron saint, You know, and if you're at all spiritual, you may already know that the patron saint from those who are afflicted with various mental disorders is Saint Dimphna. She was a martyr, and very, very little is known about Saint Dimphna other than many miraculous healings have occurred through her intercession. So since today is her feast day, we want to ask for the prayers of Saint Dimphna as we struggle to get control over our fears and to be able to experience peace at a time when there is certainly a lot of restlessness and a lot of anxiety running wild right now. So Saint Dimphna, we ask for your prayers. All right, quick thing. I want to thank you for listening to the program. I want to thank you for hanging out with me every day here on Following the Truth. Please let your friends know about the program. And if you want to find out more about the work that I do, visit my website, followingthetruth.com. And that includes signing up for my new daily devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, that comes to your inbox every day. Got some new subscribers today, and it costs you nothing to do this. You can unsubscribe at any time if you feel you don't want to hear from your buddy Gary anymore. That's totally fine. You just unsubscribe. But I would urge you to do this and really to sign up, to let your friends know about this. You go to followingthetruth.com. All you need to do is click on the button to sign up for the free daily devotional. And it's basic. It's simple. It's not overly wordy. So if you think you're not going to have time to read it, you really are, because it's not going to take, it takes about 5 minutes tops, even less probably. But it's a way to focus on the scripture. There's a Bible verse every day. I share a few thoughts. And it's designed to break you free from anxiety and worry and just really to give you some peace. So if you're interested, visit followingthetruth.com. Now, at the beginning of the show, I talked about the idea, and we talked about it all day on the program yesterday, that it's okay to be afraid. So if you're feeling afraid for any reason, it's okay. You're not sinning. You're not doing anything wrong. Now, as I mentioned on the show yesterday, excessive fear, unwarranted fear, fear that God is not there for you or he won't provide for you, it's not necessarily a sin, but, well, let me clarify that. It's never a sin to feel something. So if you're afraid, it's never sinful, but it might be a sign that your faith needs some work, right? And that's a good thing. The fear is given to us by God for a reason. Fear warns us of danger. And then we can act on the danger, right? That's what fear does. Now, if we are afraid that God is not with us, that God doesn't care for us, that God is not going to give us the grace we need, if he allows suffering to enter into our life, if we have that kind of fear, it's not a sin, but it could be a sign that our faith is weak. And that's good, because there is that warning mechanism of fear might be telling us, even the fear itself could be telling us that we are afraid for the wrong reason. And that's part of the process of working with the Lord. And what we're going to talk about today, by doing that, by trusting, by putting your trust in God even when you are afraid, that's how your faith grows, and ultimately it will lessen your fear. More faith you have, the less fear you're going to have. But that's not something you can force. You just can't make yourself not be afraid. But there are steps, and this is what we talked about yesterday. There are steps we can take. Mainly, when we're afraid, we need to turn to God. We need to reach out to Jesus, as St. Peter did when he was attempting to walk on water, and he got scared and he began to sink. He reached out to Jesus in a hurry, which is something we should all do. And that is how our faith grows, because Jesus will respond. We never know how he'll respond, but we do know that he will respond because he loves us. And that's what it takes to really allow your faith to grow. And then you'll find over time, but don't be impatient, over time you will find your fear decreasing. So with that in mind, let's look at the verse for today that I want to talk about. It's from Psalm 56, and it's verse 3. And it really ties in nicely to this message of what to do when we are afraid. And by the way, this verse comes from my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. You can get it from Dynamic Catholic. They're offering it right now at a pretty big discount. But this is the verse that I've chosen for this day, and it's a good one. Let me just read it. Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Now, let's talk about this a little. And again, the supposed contradiction in many of our minds is that if I'm afraid, that means I don't trust. So I can't trust because I'm afraid. The problem with that way of thinking is that we assume, incorrectly by the way, that trust is a feeling. I need to feel that trust. And because we use it that way sometimes. Oh, I trust and therefore I'm not afraid. It's because I trust. Well, no, not necessarily. We're afraid because we perceive there to be a problem. So if I'm afraid of the coronavirus, if I'm afraid of a bad medical diagnosis, if I am afraid of a relationship difficulty, if I'm afraid of how am I going to pay my bills at the end of the month, that is the perfect opportunity for us to choose, right? And this is an important point, to choose, to make a conscious decision to trust in God. That is the perfect time to do it, because that's what Peter did. Now, even though Peter was panicking when he was beginning to sink on the water, he chose to reach out to Jesus. He called out to him and he said, Lord, save me, which is a great prayer. It's one of my favorite prayers because it's simple, it's to the point, and it's effective. And you can see that it's effective because Jesus responded immediately to Peter and he saved him. So when we are afraid, it's the perfect opportunity to choose to trust. And you might say, well, how do I do that? How can I trust because I'm afraid? Doesn't that imply that I don't trust? No. Trust is a conscious decision. And you know, we don't think about this. We trust so many people, and it almost seems automatic. I trust the pilot to fly my plane. I trust the pharmacist to give me the right pills. I trust the restaurant to give me food that's not going to poison me. But it's so automatic because we've had plenty of experience, excuse me, and never had a problem, that trust grows, or that feeling of trust grows, or that feeling, I should say, of confidence grows, and we're able to trust these people more. Well, the same thing applies to our relationship with God. We can choose to trust Him even when we don't feel anything. Even when we don't feel anything. And the more we do that, the more our faith will grow, because we see that He's come through for us. And we begin to trust Him more. You know, here's the point to remember. If we were not afraid at all, if we were totally sure of something, right, we wouldn't need faith. Faith only comes into play when you don't have absolute certainty. That's why it's called faith. So this verse, Psalm 56, verse 3, it's a good one. It's one to remember. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. So today, over the weekend, you're going to have opportunities. Maybe today you have opportunities. Right now you might have an opportunity to trust, to put your trust in God. And how does that look? How does it look when you put your trust in God? Well, what happens is, again, it's not a feeling, it's an action. So what does trust look like? How do I trust? Well, you trust by saying, you can say your prayers and say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you with this problem. The very act that you're praying means that you are putting trust in the Lord. Because if you didn't think He was good for His word, if you didn't think He was capable of handling your problem, you wouldn't pray. So the fact that you're praying is the best way to put that trust into action. And I suggest that you do it today. You've got something. You've got something that you need, that you're concerned with. Maybe a problem, maybe an intention. Maybe this coronavirus thing has just gotten you all bent out of shape. Whatever it is, use that as the opportunity to put your trust in God today. All right, will you do that? And then see what happens. I can't guarantee that he's going to answer your prayer in the way you expect, as fast as you would like, but I know he will hear, I know he will answer, and just keep doing it. Don't be ruled by your feelings. That's one of the worst mistakes that we can make, to be ruled by your feelings. So that's what I wanted to say about trust. When you're afraid, choose to trust. And I personally think that takes a lot of pressure off, and I hope it does for you. I hope it allows you to realize that the fact that you're afraid doesn't mean you don't trust. So if you have any questions about that, let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com. Now, here's the other thing I wanted to talk about today. Yesterday, we celebrated the feast of St. Matthias. And Matthias was the replacement apostle for Judas. He's not one of the better known apostles. He was not one of the original 12. But after Judas committed suicide, he killed himself, the decision was made to replace him, and Matthias was the guy who was chosen. Now, there was a gospel yesterday, but because I got, which was specific for the feast of St. Matthias, but because I was talking about fear, and I wanted to stick with that theme, I felt that's what the Holy Spirit was asking me to do, I didn't reference the gospel. But it was not the typical gospel that we would have had on Thursday of the fifth week of Easter. It was a special gospel. So today I'm reading the gospel for Friday of the fifth week of Easter. And the most amazing thing happened. You know, I had in the back of my mind that I maybe should be talking about this gospel. And I had wondered, even before I saw what the readings were, I wondered, well, should I go back and reference the gospel for yesterday? Because there were a couple things in there that I wanted to emphasize. Guess what happened when I looked at today's readings? Friday of the fifth week of Easter. It's virtually the same gospel. Isn't that incredible? There's maybe a couple verses different, but it's essentially the same gospel. At that point, I said, all right, after I talk about this idea of being able to trust even when you're afraid, I've got to at least look at this gospel and let it maybe highlight a couple of key points, because this is literally a direct message from Jesus to his disciples. This is a direct series of quotes here. We're his disciples, so I think he needs to talk to us, especially when this occurs 2 days in a row, right? I might be dense, but this is the proverbial sledgehammer right between the eyes, and I've got to read this. So this comes from John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. Jesus said to his disciples. Now remember, when I read these words to his disciples, that's you and me. If we're followers of Christ, if we're Christians, we are his disciples. We are his followers. So these words are directed to each one of us. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. You know, we've all heard this. We've heard this often in the past. And it's an easy one to overlook. And it's an easy one to just put on the back burner. It almost becomes fluff to so many of us, but it really shouldn't be, because we think of love as a flowery word, of love as a feeling, but it's not that at all. But listen, this is a commandment. Jesus said, this is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. It's not a suggestion. It's not a nice to have if you have plenty of time. It's not a, well, work on this one day. No, it's a commandment. This is my commandment, Jesus said. Love one another as I love you. And he goes on to say, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And really, that's what the meaning of love is. It's to will the good of another, or to perform an action for the good of another. You look at what Jesus did on the cross for us, for you, for me. That's the greatest imaginable love, to go through all of that suffering, to all of that suffering, so that we can be able to live in heaven, is unbelievable. That he did that for us, to open up the gates of heaven. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, Jesus said, if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. So here you're getting a direct message, a series of messages from your Father in heaven through Jesus, who loves you. And as proof of that love, he laid down his life for you. And he's your friend. So my question to you, is Jesus truly your friend? And you know, friendship requires work on both sides. He can't be his friend, your friend, on his own. The only way you can have a good friendship is both parties have to participate, right? It's got to be reciprocal. So Jesus tells us how we know if we're his friends. We know that he's our friend, but am I his friend? You are my friends if you do what I command you. What did he command us to do? Love one another. Not just love one another, but love one another as I have loved you. That's powerful because we see what he did for us. Now, do you find that difficult? You find that a little unsettling? I do, because I realize I don't do that. But that's what he's telling us. To love other people in the same way that he loves us. Now, you and me, we can't do this on our own. We just can't. But that's why we were given the Holy Spirit when we were baptized. Because the scripture tells us the love of God is poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit. So through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, right, we can love other people in the way that Jesus has loved us. Does that mean we do? No. It means that we can. And this is where free will comes into play. And here's the other thing that really hit me when Jesus said, "It was not you who chose me, but I chose you." All right, now that's good enough. I chose you. Jesus is choosing you and me and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain. He is appointing us as his followers to go and bear fruit that will remain, to go out and be his hands and feet in the world, to love one another, to go out and do something. This is difficult at times. It's overwhelming, but it's something that he's commanding us to do. And he wants us to bear fruit that will remain so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And Jesus ends this particular quote by saying, "This I command you, love one another." That's how he started it, and that's how he ended it. Now, we can't ignore this. We got to do something about this. And you know, if you look at this and tie it in with fear, many times we're afraid to do this, or many times we're afraid or overwhelmed thinking that we can't do this. And again, you got to fall back on the Holy Spirit working in you to help you to be able to love one another. So the question arises, how can I love those around me? Some of them I don't even like. Well, you don't have to like them to love them. Again, that feeling thing. We can't be ruled by our feelings. It's going to completely obliterate our spiritual life to be driven by our feelings. I love someone by doing what's best for them, by praying for them, by being kind to them, by putting them first, no matter how I feel about them. And I'm not going to tell you it's easy, because it's not. I struggle with this. I have no problem loving people who are nice to me, who love me back. They're easy. It's the ones that drive me crazy that really can be challenging. And I need grace to be able to do that. So I've learned to pray for the grace to be able to love certain people. Do you have certain people in your life that it's even hard to pray for because they drive you crazy that much? Now, listen, I know what that's like. But Jesus didn't say, do it if you can, or try your best. Jesus said, do it. That's a commandment. So I feel that I like to tell you things on this program that are going to make you feel good. I really do, because the world needs hope. The world needs peace. The world needs joy. And I love to be the guy that delivers that message. But sometimes I have to tell you something because I'm working for Jesus. Sometimes I have to tell you something that might not be that pleasant. And to have to come and tell you, love one another. Jesus commands you to love one another. You might not feel like doing it. But ultimately, first of all, Jesus wants to do it, but wants us to do it. And if we are really his friends, if we really want to be his followers, if we really are going to love him and be his friend, he tells us how we do it. We have to follow his command. So love one another the way I have loved you. That's what he said. So we have to do it. But the good news is that's the way you're going to find peace. Because when we don't do that, when we hold on to the grudges, when we refuse to forgive a person, when we don't want to go out of our way for somebody, when we don't even want to pray for them, that's when we make ourselves miserable. There is no way that's ever going to bring you peace. It just doesn't. I've done it. I wish I could say I don't continue to do it, but I do slip up. I find myself slipping up. But that's not good enough because we want to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, get beyond that and really go out and love one another. So we could tie it back to when I'm afraid, then I trust the Lord. You know, we were just talking about that. I put my trust in you. Are we willing to put our trust in Jesus that we are able to love one another, that we're able to follow through with that command of his, to love one another as he has loved us? We can't do it on our own. We can only do it through the help of the Holy Spirit. So I know that message was directed for somebody today. Go out and do it this weekend. Go love somebody the way Jesus loved you. And that's a self-sacrificial love. It means they have to come first. Doesn't mean you have to go to dinner with them. Not that you can go to dinner anywhere. It doesn't mean you have to bring them over to your house and cook for them. But it means you got to love them. And ask the Holy Spirit how it is that you can do that. All right, I got to run. I hope you have a great weekend. Please let me know if you need anything. You can find me at you can email me, at gary@followingthetruth.com. I look forward to being with you once again on Monday, God willing. And know that I'm praying for you, and I ask you to please pray for me as well. Remember to trust the Lord, even though you're afraid, and love one another. God bless you. Make this a great weekend. See you next time.